We're thankful, Lord, for your blessings. We're thankful, Lord, for your goodness, and we're thankful, Lord, that you've brought us into your house of worship. And Lord, it's my prayer that all of us have removed those things that would hinder us from accepting your word. Help us, Lord, to focus on your word, not the one that would be speaking, but Lord, your words of life. And then in return, Heavenly Father, we promise to give you the thanks and the praise, but more so, Lord, that we may follow out and act out, and that we may apply what we heard today in our lives. We pray for those, Lord, that are not here. We pray for those that couldn't make it. We pray for those, Lord, that didn't want to be here. We ask and pray, Heavenly Father, that you would meet them where they're at, that you would touch them and you'd convict them. And Lord, that in this day, your word would be powerful. And perhaps the Spirit would be convicting all of us. Lord, we ask and pray that you would be with us and that you'd bless us in this day. Be with our coming and our going. Lord, we ask and pray that you would be in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to the book of John. The book of John. I'm going to read a few verses here, but I want you to pay close attention to verse number 12. I'm sorry, John 1. John 1, St. John, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word becomes flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me. He was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received the grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you prophet? Are you the prophet?" He said, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered and said unto him, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Betharba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Unto there I wish to read. So this morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to talk about, or I want to pose the question that's perhaps some may think is a rhetorical question, and perhaps some have really never given it much thought. But the question I would like to pose, and perhaps would be the theme of this morning, who am I? Lord laid this on my heart because a few weeks ago we had a baptism of two souls that have given them their lives over to the Lord. We were witnesses in their testimony. We were witnesses in hearing that Christ came into their lives, changed their lives. And not only in changing their lives, they received a new identity. And perhaps that's more where my focus of this morning's speaking will be, is about identity. And I know there's been many sermons about it. And perhaps a few years back I may have had a message on it. I know a long time ago, I still remember Brother Richard Jankov had a sermon on it here, and I would like to maybe split this into three different sermons. The first one would be our identity in Christ. Who am I? And with the help of the Lord, the other two would be my purpose in Christ. What is my purpose in Christ? And the third would be my position in Christ. But for this morning's meditation, I'd like to focus on our identity. And you would think that it's really a no-brainer. You'd think that, you know, we know who we are. We're in Christ Jesus. That's our identity. That's who we identify with. As we read, John says, to those that are in Christ Jesus, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become sons and daughters of God. You know, as I was thinking about this word identity, when we think of a person, what do we identify that person with? When people look at me, do they identify me as being a mechanic? Do they identify me as maybe some of the things that I like to do, whether it's fishing, whether it's golfing, whether it's dirt bike riding? Whatever perhaps talent that I have. But is that who I am? And you think about what would somebody identify you with? And then is that who you are? You know, it's kind of interesting. And I was thinking about this. Ladies, in your purse, you have a wallet. Men, in your jackets, you have a driver's license for those of you that drive. When's the last time you actually looked at your driver's license? It's been a long time. For me as well. You know, I'm looking at my driver's license. I'm laughing because perhaps I had more hair back then. I'm looking at my height, I'm looking at my weight, maybe I put a little bit more weight on. But there are certain things within your driver's license that does not change. For example, the year that you were born, right? Maybe if you've moved, you've updated your driver's license, that's kind of been, that's kind of your identity. So when you're going somewhere, whether you're, you know, if you're writing a check, you know, now checks are kind of going obsolete, so doesn't really apply so much, but they want to see your driver's license. If you go rent a car, they want to see your driver's license, they want to see your insurance. If you're traveling, state of California now has a different ID card, federal limit supply, which is only in California. It doesn't really comply to the standards of outside of California. But that's your ID. If you have a passport, okay, now that's even a little bit better than the driver's license. Now that you're traveling, they want to see the passport, and on the passport, again, is your identity, right? And then we have one more identity, and that's our Social Security card. When we're born, we're given our parents go to the Social Security office, and they file the forms and the birth certificates you bring with there, and now you've got an identity with your Social Security that hopefully, you know, by the time we end up retiring, there's enough money in there that we can get paid from the government. But that's our identity. You think of our identity. And at times, we lose focus of our identity. At times, when we're around our friends and our peers, and we look at them, we say, okay, you know what? This person has a nicer home than I do. This person has a better job than I do. This person has nicer clothes than I do. Now we start comparing ourselves to others. And then we start to lose a little bit of that perspective of our identity. And sometimes we have to go back and read the scriptures. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So as Christians, when we've accepted Christ in our lives, when we were born again, when we came out and we went, you know, into that watery grave, when we came out a new creature, we have a new identity in Christ. Our minds need to be transformed. And we take that and we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to ask a few questions here. If someone observed your prayer life outside of God or your devotional life was being watched, what would they conclude about the nature and character of God? What would they learn about God when they observed your life or mine? And we go on comparing others to ourselves, and we don't live up to that standard or to that expectation, how do we feel? A lot of times it's a negative feeling. And then we stop and we take for granted the things that God has already given to us, the things that we have, who we are, and who lives within us. And then when we want to live up to an expectation of somebody else because we like their identity better than ours, because of what they have, then we lose our identity. We give the control of feelings to others. But you see, in Christ Jesus, John 1:12 says, "To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Our identity is in Christ Jesus. It's not the things that we do. It's not the emotions that we feel. It's not the places that we like to go. It's not the talents that God has given us. But because we've accepted Christ into our lives, he gave us that right to become a child of God. That is our identity. That is your identity. John, 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that they did not know him." Ephesians 2:13 tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And it's only possible because of the blood of Christ and what he has done for us that we who've accepted Christ can be sons and daughters of God. And once we become sons and daughters of God, because of our identity of who we are, in Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." We are heirs of God. We are children of God. We are heirs and joint heirs, Scripture tells us. And our home is not here on this earth. Our home is in heaven. And sometimes when we forget that, Romans 8:16 reminds us and says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, we read about John. John's identity was in Christ. His purpose was to go and to baptize. The beauty of our identity is that we were chosen. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, "For we know, brothers, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. He has chosen me. He has died for you, and he has died for me. And as many as you were baptized into Jesus Christ, put on Christ." And as Christians, Scripture teaches us that we are the temple of the living God. The Spirit dwells within us. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we lose sight of that sometimes as Christians, Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste or its flavor, how shall it be restored?" You know, there was a portion of Scripture that came to mind. There are a lot of characters in the Scripture that we can read and we can identify, and we can see who with whom they had their identity was. There was a man that was with Jesus for 3 years, and when they took Jesus and they brought him before the council, when they brought him before the high priest, there was a man who followed him afar off. His name was Peter. And the story goes that when he was in the courtyard, there was a fire going on. He was inside the house being tried. He was sitting amongst those that were outside. And there was a lady there, and she looked at him, and Scripture says, and earnestly she looked upon him, and she said, "You are also with him." You see, she identified Peter as being one with Christ. There was a testimony here that perhaps Peter didn't realize. And he said, "No, I wasn't." And a little time goes by, another saw him and says, "You also are with him." And he said, "No, I am not." And after the third time, the cock crowed three times, and Peter remembered the words of Christ. That's one example. There was another example recently that I was reading in the book of Acts. Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." See, they identified the acts, the characters of the apostles, that they were with Jesus. That Jesus taught them. Can people see that in us? In the past week, where did we come short of being identified with Christ? Where did our walk not reflect the walk of Christ? Where did our talk not reflect the talk of Christ? Because if we identify with Christ, and if Christ lives within us, how should our conduct be? Second Corinthians 5:17 teaches us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Apostle Paul, he also says, he goes, you know, it's not I, but Christ that lives within me. Apostle Paul identified himself with Christ. And he had a passion. He wanted to know him more. He wanted to be like him more. He wanted to know his suffering, and he wanted to know his resurrection. So whose identity do you have? Is it your own? Are you trying to live out somebody else's identity? Are you living out the identity of Christ that lives in you and lives in me? Have you crucified yourself, your old man, with Christ? Or are you still living that shameful, that sinful life? Sometimes our actions, they speak volume, but in a negative way. You know, this morning in Bible class, I think Sister Annie brought it up and says, you know, there are some people that don't want to put that fish in the back of their trunk. They don't want people to see or associate themselves or identify with themselves that they are with Christ. And I believe Brother Tim also made a comment of going through a stop or something that and somebody else making a comment in regards to that. And we do that. And that happens in our lives. But if our identity is in Christ, then we need to be Christ-like. Can others see Christ living in you? Do we want others to know that we are Christians? Or we would rather not because of the things that we would do, and then people would judge us because, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing this. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be going here. Is that something that we want to shy away from, and therefore we don't want people to know that we are Christians? 2 Corinthians 5:22 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So am I up here saying that, you know what, you're not perfect and you need to be perfect? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that there are times in our lives that we lose focus of our identity. And perhaps we say something that we shouldn't, or our actions don't portray that identity of Christ. And it's just a reminder. You know, Satan's always there, and he's going to bring things up to us, and he's going to rub things in our face. Galatians 3:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." We have that identity of Christ within us through faith because we believe what God says in his word, and that his word is true. So in closing, can others see Christ living in you? Does Christ live in you? Do I always remember who I am? Christ living in me and living in you.